The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a parsha or an entire sefer, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Dvorim, always being the parsha, which is Samach Venira to the day of Tisha B'Av, of course, brings up the point that the Ben HaMitzarim, the tragedy of Churban Bayis Sheni, the result of which is the long gullus that we're still in, hopefully that'll finish soon, is a product, the Gemara tells us, of Sinas Chinam. And Sinas Chinam has to do with distance, dispute, strife between brothers, between members, fellow members of Klal Yisrael. In that sense, it's very apropos. The only mitzvah, really, that we have in this week's parasha is the mitzvah of establishing shoiftim, of establishing batei dinim. And the pasuk says in pasuk tezayin, the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is sharing with Klal Yisrael his reprimands, his reminiscing and teaching Klal Yisrael for the future. Vatzaveh shoiftechem bo isayi leimor. I commanded the shoiftim that were appointed. What's their task? Shemoya ben achechem ushvatetem tzedek. You should hear disputes between brothers, between fellow members of Klal Yisrael. Ushvatetem tzedek, you should rule with justice. Ben ishu ben ochiv v'ben geroi. Seems quite clear that the existential nature of what the Dayan paskins is ben ishu ben ochiv, between two people. And this underscores the point that we're making, that this has to do with the harmony. Creating harmony, ben odom lachaveroi, is the way to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and that's really what the parasha is emphasizing. What's interesting is that you could really have a different perspective on, we'll start with Dine Mominis. Dine Mominis, you don't have to see so much as the strife between brothers, but you could really see it from the perspective of ben odom lachaveroi. Gezel is an avero, like any other avera, the same avera of eating non-kosher food is also handling non-kosher money. So when there's a dispute between Reuven and Shimon, true, Reuven and Shimon have to work it out, and they come to Bezdin, the Bezdin work. But is the primary description of Bezdin, in the sense of creating harmony, ben ishu ben ochiv? Maybe the point of the Bezdin is to distance, which it's certainly part of their job, distancing members of Klal Yisrael from being nichshol maveris. If Reuven is wrong, so Reuven is holding on to $100 that belongs to Shimon, he's a gazlan. We have to save Reuven from having non-kosher money, same way we have to save Reuven from eating non-kosher food. Is the point the ben ishu ben ochiv? The answer is yes. There's such a thing as non-kosher money, but it's not really the purview, it's not really the domain of a bezdin, of shoiftim that have a mishpat tzedek, ben ishu ben ochiv. A case in point. One of the prominent, which would seem, omissions in Chayshu Mishpat is all the dinim in Shulchan Aruch that have to do with dinim mominis that come to a bezdin. Hilchis ribis, which is a prominent part of financial halacha, is not b'chalal Chayshu Mishpat. It's in Yerideya. It's in the halachas that govern non-kosher food, mikvois, nida, factories, kashering animals, shechting animals, and so on. All the areas of ritual law, of halacha, of issa v'heter, are to be found in Yerideh. Dine mominis are choshe mishpat. V'cher never the twain shall meet. Where would you put ribis? The natural place for it is in Chayshu Mishpat. It's financial law. An understanding of ribis has to do with an understanding of shibudim and halvois and malve and loive. All those are halachas that are brought in Chayshu Mishpat. Sure enough, the dinim of ribis are in Perek Ezu Neshach, the fifth Perek in Bav Mitzir, together with all the laws of custodians and kinyonim and v'chule v'chule. All dinim amnis. Shoimrim. What does that have to do with Yeridei? The answer is, ribis is not between two people. The two people are in agreement. The shaila is the money kosher or not? If I earn money by lending somebody with interest, the problem, the basic problem is not the fact that I ba'avled him to that I stole from him, he signed the contract with me. The problem is the money that I have is not kosher. Not kosher money is Isavata. There's no ben ishu ben ochiv. Ben ishu ben ochiv is the domain of Choshen Mishpat. Not Yerideh. Let's take that step further. The Ran in Chulun Dav Tzadik Vov tells us that an Eid Echod is Nemon to Paskin on Shalos of Aveda. Reuven picks up a lost object. He picks up a wallet in the street. It's not clear who it belongs to. There's some type of doubt. There's a sim in there. We say that he's Mechuyiv in the Mitzvah of Shalos Aveda. Comes along an Eid Echod and says, the Eid Echod says, I saw this wallet fall from so-and-so's pocket. I saw so-and-so put this wallet down and forget it. The din is that he's Nemon. The finder has to return it. The owner has a right to demand it, to claim it. Al pi Eid Echod. What happened to the fact that Eid Echod is not Nemon and Momon? The din of Momon is, din of Momon is have to be gepaskin by a Bezdin based on testimony of two Eidim. Al pi Shnayim Eidim Yochum Dover. The gut reaction is because the din of Momon is when you're being moitzi Momon. Moitzi Momon from a muchzik. The concept of a muchzik is possession is 9/10 of the law in Choshen Mishpat as well as in common sense. And therefore, whenever you're coming to demand payment, something that's in somebody's house that you should give it back to you, paying up a choiv, paying for damages, making good on a contract, wages, and so forth, you're always being moitzi Momon from somebody else. Hoitzoas Momon from a muchzik needs to aid him. Hoitzoas Momon not from a muchzik, that's not Momon. That's not Hoitzoas Momon. That doesn't need a bezin, doesn't need to aid him. That's the simple way of saying it. Reb Kiva Eger disputes that charge. He disputes that that explanation. Reb Kiva Eger has a kasha because he has a gemara in Bav Metzia Dav Chavov that says what happens, let's say, there are two people claiming an aveda. Again, Reuven finds a wallet in the street. Shimon and Levi both come forward and they both say they lost a wallet with the following simonim. It could be Shimon's, it could be Levi's. The simonim fit with either one. Comes along an Eid Echod and Eid Echod says the wallet belongs to Levi. I saw Levi drop it. I saw him put it down. The halach is you can't rely on the Eid Echod. You're niach. Hold on to it until you have better proof, until two Eidim come along. Why not? What happened to Eid Echod? What are you going to say? Eid Echod is not Nemon when there's Hoitzos. It's not Hoitzos moment. The fellow who's holding it is not holding on to it as his own. He's holding it to do a mitzvah. That's not called a muchzik. And if he would be called a muchzik, then the same would be true when there aren't two people fighting. Why is this different than the case that we just sent around? The answer, l'chor, has nothing to do with hoitzos, moment from a muchzik. The existential point over here is there has to be a ben ish u ben ochiv. Dine Momonis is paskening between Reuven and between Shimon. If Reuven comes along, Reuven found the wallet, Shimon comes along and Shimon has an Eid Echod that belongs to him, it's undisputed. At the very instant when there's not only a Shimon, there's a Levi, there's a back and forth, who's the winner? Who's the owner? It's between Shimon and Levi. Ben Ish Ben Achim, one Eid is not Nema. Dine Momonis has to do with paskening between two people. And between two people, ben ish u'ben ochiv, that needs two edim. Eid Echod is not enough. This l'chayr makes very well the point that we pointed out, that the existential nekuda of the Bezdin system, of the dinei momonos and choshen mishpat, as opposed to, let's say, yerideya, ribis, is the ben ish u'ben ochiv. Another case in point. The k'tzois, ha-choshen and simon lamed ches, Sifkot and Dalet, brings an interesting discussion. We know, like we pointed out, that Isurim can be decided legally, lahalocha, we rely on Eid Echod. Which would tell us that, in principle, a person should be able to be fully reliable as to the kashrus of an entire factory. There's no reason based on theoretical halacha to need a mashgiach for a beis shchita, for a shlachtois, or for a factory, for a store. The reason why we do have mashgiachim is because, unfortunately, human nature being what it is, temptation to make an extra buck or a quick buck is unfortunately, you know, we were created with the Yetzirah and we have to factor that in. But in terms of reliability and strict theoretical halacha, erechanem bisur. Now, that begs a point. In Eidus, one of the basic components of Hilchas Eidus, in terms of coming to Bezin, is that you can't say Eidus on things that are relevant to you. A baldover is not neger. The person himself is certainly not nemon as Eidus. You put in your claim, your counterclaim, but you're certainly not nemon as testimony. The same is true if he's a neger, even if you're not the person himself, but if you're saying Eidus as somebody who knows the nature of the business deal that's in dispute between two parties, and you stand to get some type of finder's fee if Reuven's right, you're not allowed to say Eidus on the case. Even if it's not your case, but if you have some type of benefit, that's called a Negev Eidus. The halacha, however, is that a person is allowed to be made on Ein Lecho Negev Godel Mi, somebody who's being made Eid Echod on his factory, that everything in the factory is kosher. There's no greater Negev, still he's Nemon. And to underscore the point that we're making, which is spelled out by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kevet Shiurim, we'll say of an interesting story. It brings out the point nicely between these two areas in halacha. The story that's told over is that Reb Chaim Brisker, as a young boy, was learning with his father, the great Beis Halevi, who was the Rav then in Slutsk, and a butcher comes into the Beis Medrash where they're learning, and he has a wheelbarrow, he's carrying on it lungs of an animal that was slaughtered. Just to put in perspective, in those days, most poverty-stricken Yidden in the shtetl had meat to eat, chicken. They had a little piece of chicken on Shabbos, or maybe once during the week. Meat, real meat from a cow, beef, was reserved for Yom Tov, and that was something you reserved in advance, and a bunch of families would buy together. And the butcher would invest in an animal that would be shechted, and that would be a buntes panosa. A question of treifis on a large animal, on a cow, on a calf, could be a hefsid meruba for the butcher. Rabbonim were extraordinarily devoted to being able to use the koyach de'heterin shalos of treifis to offset significant financial loss. So they come in. The Rabbanim in town had not been able to be matir. This shalom was a serious shalom. The Beis Halevi gets up and he starts examining the lungs and back and forth and back and forth. After an hour, he looks at the butcher. He says, "I'm sorry, Rabbi, it's treif. The lungs are not kosher." The butcher looks at the Beis Halevi and he says, "Rebbe, panos is from Shemayim." You know, he took it like a man. Reb Chaim, as a young boy, was very impressed. Here's somebody who just took a punch in the gut. He just took a heavy financial loss, and he took it with full amunah b'tochen. 2 weeks later, that very same butcher was involved in a din Torah in the Bezdin in Slutsk over nothing, a few kopekas, a few dollars. And when the Beis Halevi paskin that he has to, that the butcher is guilty and he has to pay his next door neighbor a few dollars, he lost his calm. And he starts screaming at the Beis Halevi, "How dare you paskin that way? How dare you? What a terrible mistake you made." Reb Chaim turned to his father and he said, "Tata, I don't understand. 2 weeks ago he had a hefsid meruba and he took it so calmly, so full of emunah. And now, for a few dollars, that's what he's blowing his stack over?" And Reb Chaim said what his father Beis Halevi told him. He said to him, "Oy Chaim, favos verstehst nicht. Chaim, why don't you understand? 2 weeks ago, I paskined on the behemoth. I paskined that the behemoth is treif. The fact that he had financial fallout, he's a balamuna. That's min hashemayim. Here, I paskined on him. I said ploini atachayev. And we know human nature. Nobody likes to be told anything. You tell somebody, you could say a dvar Torah, which makes a point, which makes spiritual demands, as long as you're not addressing it to anybody on a specific person, a specific group, for a specific behavior, it's well accepted. As soon as you say something that's pointed at a person's criticism, you're out. And what the point that Reb Chaim brought out from that definition of his father is that Dine Issa Veheter is never a psak on the bailim of the behemoth, on the owner of the factory. It's a psak on the factory. That the contents of a factory are not kosher, that the status of an animal that was shechted is not kosher, that the status of a mikveh is not kosher, and so on and so forth, has nothing to do with the owner. The owner happens to be the one who might benefit, or he might be at a deficit because of that, but it's not a psak on him. When a person says edus as to the nature of the food in his factory, he's not saying edus on himself. You want to know, is there room for temptation? Yes, so that's why midrabbanon, we have an institution called Mashgichei Kashrus. But theoretically, he's not a Negeh. Negeh is not somebody who's tempted. Negeh is somebody who's relevant. He's saying Eidus on somebody he's not detached from. Saying Eidus on the halachic Kashrus of your animal is something you're detached from. It's not you. It's the animal. Saying financial, Ruvain has a schus to collect from Shimon, that's a psak on a person. And when it's the psak is relevant to me as a person, that's a psak on me. I can't say edus on that. That's the way Rabbi Chanan explains this point in Kedushim. Again, the point that we're making is that dinei momonos, the existential nature of creating mishpat bein ish ubein achiv, shemoya bein achechem, is that it's a decision between two people. Issa v'heter is a psak on a thing. Choshe Mishpat is about dinei momonos, is about paskening on a person. And that's really why you need a bezin. Bezin is the same way you need a bezin to give out punishments, to give malchus, to give dal mitzvahs bezin. You need a bezin also to define anything that changes a person's personal status. For instance, Dovah Shebe'erva as well. The same way bezin is necessary to pasken on dinei momonos, and like we're saying very eloquently from this story, the psak of dinei momonos is always on a person. And we're pointing that out from Aveda. You're paskening between two people. The same thing is true by Dovah Shebe'erva. The Rambam says in Perek Tezayin Mehilchas Sanhedrin that saying that a woman was divorced is we believe in Eid Echad. The halacha is a woman who's divorced at one point can no longer marry a kohen. The Eid Echad can make that determination, and the Eid Echad Nem Bisum will be believed to paskin on the Issa V'Heter status of the woman. The question is asked on the Rambam. The Tesis Rid asked this question in Kedushin Daf Samach Vav, that it's clear in the Gemara over there that saying on somebody that he was born with some type of compromised yichus that he can't marry a kohen, you need two edim. What's the difference between that and saying on a woman that later on in life she got divorced and now she can no longer a divorcee, can't marry a kohen? What's the difference between the two? Both of them, you're creating the same din. Similar to the question we asked by Aveda, what's the difference between an erecha being made on Aveda belongs to Reuven, or if Reuven and Shimon are both claiming that Aveda erecha is not Neman? And the answer will be the same. The way the Shev Shmaitzer says in Shmaitzer Vov, the answer is that an Eid Echad, that saying that a woman is a grusha, that's saying that she did something, and that doing something, that being married and having been divorced, disqualifies her from kahuna. That's not her status, that's not who she is, that's something she did. Being born with a status, it seems like the chilek is semantics, but it's a real chilek. The difference between being born with a certain status in Klal Yisrael is that that's a label on who you are. That's your status. Being divorced, even if it's permanent, that the woman is a divorcee and she can't marry a kohen, but it's not her. It's something that happened to her. That nedach has been made on. The issa v'heter fallout is the same, but one is a personal status and one is not. And the nature of bezdin is that one, we need bezdin to pass on anything that's negeh, and we need to aid him to pass on anything that's negeh to status, to pass on a person, not to pass on things. I think the point is clear. The Shemoya ben Achechem over here, the passing between people, the passing on people, labeling people, defining people, hearing two people, the back and forth between two people, that's what the system of Bezin is. And it's very apropos that the parsha that's the time of the year when we so have to concentrate on how we define people, how we label people, how we see people, and how we look at two people. Do we say things that bring them apart, or do we bring them together? Are we engaged in bringing people together, or are we engaged in creating positions that drive people apart? That's really the avoida of these days. Rebbein Shem should give us siyat d'shmai. We should be zeicha to bring Klal Yisrael together. We should be zeicha always to label every member of Klal Yisrael with the label that's given by Pirkei Avos, v'amech kulam tzadikim, and we should be zeicha to see all of Klal Yisrael standing as tzadikim in Yitz Hashem in the speedily rebuilt Beis HaMikdash.
The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.